Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I thank you for just this wonderful night that we're having. Whoa, you guys are far away. Wow. Israel, make sure we make the adjustment next week. You're too far away from me. The chairs. Anyways, we're praying. Bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I thank you for tonight. Thank you that you're such an amazing God. But not only that, but you're an amazing Father. A Father who only gives us good gifts. A Father where everything good that we have came from the Father of lights. We have nothing good apart from God. We have nothing good. It is your love that satisfies us. It is your grace that keeps us going. It's our relationship, Father, that we live for. What's what I live for? I live for relationship with you, Father. And that's my prayer for every single one of us, Father, that we live to be with you and to have fellowship with you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So, everyone say hi, Ernie. Hi, Ernie. So, I don't know if you guys know this, but me and Ernie were recently in, if you guys came to the Good Friday drama, we were in the Good Friday drama. He played Jesus, and I played Thomas. And so, if you guys didn't get a chance to see it, in the final scene, I played Thomas, and so, I'm going to say Ernie. I'm not going to say Jesus, I'm going to say Ernie, just because I don't want to get tripped up. Nope, we're not going to act it out. And so in the final scene, you know, like Ernie tells me, like, hey, Thomas, you know, touch my hands, see and believe and all that stuff, right? And so I go up to him, and then, like, I know I have to, like, be all dramatic and look at his hands and then fall to my knees and say, my Lord, my God, okay? Right after that, he, like, talks to the disciples, and honestly, like, it's so awesome, like, having a relationship with God, because anything can minister to you. Like, this is not the play. This is, like, the rehearsal. This is the day before Good Friday. We're just rehearsing. And, like, I had a total encounter with God all by myself. And I didn't care. Like, anyways. So that was our first run-through. And so at the end of it, one of Ernie's lines is, my Father is now reconciled to the world. And that hit me hard because, like, in, like, an instant, I saw, like, Adam and Eve falling and having to be taken out of the garden, and then God saying, I want them back. I want my sons and daughters back. And then because of what Jesus did, because we just celebrated Easter, he rose from the dead so that now we can be born again, and God can now live in us because now we are holy and acceptable before his eyes. Wow. He made a way so that God can be like, wow, I have my son back. I have my daughter back. That was God's number. Everyone say number one goal.
Number one goal.
He wanted his sons and his daughters back. Yeah. So like that, like, and it's like, okay, like, yeah, that's the story of Jesus. I don't know why. I mean, I know why. But in that moment, like, it hit me so hard, and I'm outside. I'm like bawling. I'm like, oh God, I love you. Like, I was just bawling outside it. And then so now you have our second run through, and so I'm like, I managed to get my composure, right? Like, all right. Another run-through, right? And so we do our whole run-through because I'm supposed to be, like, mad and, like, frustrated for the entire thing. And so, like, that end part. So, like, okay, I got to get back to being frustrated, get back to being, like, the mean one. And so we're going through, like, this run-through again. And, like, okay, we get to the same scene, right, with me and Ernie where, like, everyone's, like, kneeling down not to, like, walk up, like, to Ernie. And I feel it, like, right here, like, that, like, just God speaking to me again. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna lose it right now. So I go up to him, look at his hands, I fall on my knees, and I start weeping. He probably thought I was like, you know, acting. But I like lost it. Like, my voice cracked for real. I mean, it does often anyway, but that's not the point. But I I'm looking down. He can't see my face, by the way. I'm like looking down and like tears, my eyes are getting all puffy, and so he's like, Thomas, blessed are, and he starts saying his line, and like I look up. And like I see like his eyes get a little wider, like, and like his like eyebrow kind of twitch, like, what the heck? And I'm like bawling. I was like looking. It's like I was literally looking at Jesus. Like, yes, Ernie's a picture of Jesus. But anyways, I say all that to say. So how did you feel? Like, I went up to him. I was like, hey, just so you know. I went up to him after before that. I was like, hey, just so you know what happened. This is like, I told him everything that happened, so he didn't think, like, oh, I don't know. I don't even know what you thought, to be honest. Yeah, I was okay. Oh, even Michael, huh, was like, is he okay? Woo! Anyways, so that inspired this message. Amen. It was just that moment of God just dropping. Oh my gosh, like, get closer to God. Pray in the Spirit, come to church, read your Bible, and you'll have those moments. I have those moments all the time in my car when I'm driving. I have those moments. Last year I picked up piano so I can worship by myself. And I'll just be by myself downstairs and I'll be playing piano. And I'll just like, I have to stop playing because I have to get on my face and just start praying. You guys, listen, I love encountering God at church. But to be honest, I love encountering God more when it's just me and him in the secret place. And occasionally at rehearsals. When everything, we're supposed to be acting and I'm like having a legitimate encounter with God. So check this out, okay? Go put up Ephesians chapter 1. Don't look at it in your Bibles because this is... No, it's not. Sorry, that's not the first page. This is the first page. Never mind. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Check it out. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Everyone say amen. We'll get to that first verse in a little bit, but we're going to focus on the second verse right now, or the 18. Now all things are of God who has reconciled. I want to say reconciled. You've in other words, like, you've restored relationship. Because here's the thing, God is omnipresent. Does that make sense? Like sin doesn't physically separate you from God, because God is everywhere. But sin relationally and spiritually separates you from God. Does that make sense? So that's what happened. All who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. You guys remember when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life? No one can get to the Father except through me. Jesus made a way. I want to say praise the Lord. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the last part right there? Cool. So, and because I just had to find it. I was like, wow, like, because I knew it was biblical what he said. And so I looked at it and I found it. I was like, wow, like, God has reconciled the world to himself through Jesus Christ. And think about it. Jesus, it was the ultimate sacrifice. No man in the history of the world has ever died like Jesus died. Especially one who was perfect and sinless and without fault. And here's the amazing thing. The Bible says that Jesus, taken from Jesus' perspective, because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus looked at every single one of us who were born, who was already born, or who will be born, which is all of us, because none of us were alive at that time. He looked at every single one of us, and he said, you're worth it. And here's the thing, though. Here's like the amazing thing. So Jesus looks at us, he says, he's not saying you're worth it to be with me. He's like, no, you're worth it, because through me, you're going to get to know who the Father is. Everything Jesus did, he was pointing to the Father. Everything he did. It's so amazing. Oh my gosh. It's so amazing how the Trinity works together. Because the Holy Spirit points to Jesus, and Jesus points to the Father, and the Father is the one who poured out the Spirit on us, and it just goes on and on, and it's like this amazing relationship with God. Anyways, I got to go on. Everyone say point one. Your Father delights in you. Your Father delights in you. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Just take a moment to like picture that. Has any of you guys ever had like parents that were like super happy because you got like an award at school? Like, oh, mijo, good job. And you're like, ah, like, right? Like, it was like so happy, right? God the Father is like that to you, like, all the time. Oh, they obeyed me. Oh, my gosh, they overcame that temptation. Ah, I love that guy. I love my daughter. Think about it. You don't just, like, read the Bible, but read what it's saying. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. No, that trips me out. What, God is singing over me? You mean, my voice, there's a disturbance in the mic, okay? And I heard it, so like, sorry. I was saying, it's crazy because we come here every Wednesday and we sing to God. not realizing that he sings back. Oh man, don't have a moment right now. He will rejoice over you with singing. Let's go to Psalms 147. Everyone say, my daddy delights in me. Psalm 147, we'll start with verse 7 through 11. You guys can look it up on the screen because it's in NLT. Sing out your thanks to the Lord. Sing praises to our God with a harp. I think a guitar will do. He covers the heavens with clouds, provides the rain for the earth. Who likes the rain? Oh my gosh, me, Tyler, and Andrew, we went to like a retreat. Like up at Hume Lake. It was like 5.5 hours away. It was so beautiful. Because like we're like on our way up there and we ended up I'm pretty sure we took a different route because like someone was saying, oh yeah, there's a crash on this route or on this freeway. So I think we took a different way, but it was like literally like something out of like Lord of the Rings. Like green hills, like bright blue skies. And as we got closer to the camp, like the overcast started coming in and it was just like it's the most beautiful drive I've ever been on in my entire life. It's springtime, so all the flowers are like blooming. So like you see purple and you see yellow, you see red, and it was like, it was so great. Saturday, so it was right, I don't know how warm it was here, but Saturday morning we wake up and it's like still dark and it's like already 8:30, but it feels like it's 6 in the morning and it's pouring outside. Like we're in this, if you guys went to camp with us last year, like you know like those cabins that, you know, there's like no insulation, no restroom, no nothing. We had that. So we heard everything, like all the rain coming down, and I'm like in my sleeping bag going like, oh God, this is so great. It was so great. So great. You can laugh all you want, all right? It's okay. He covers the heavens with clouds, provides rain for the earth. That's why I said that. And makes the grass grow in mountain pastures. He gives food to the wild animals and feeds the young ravens when they cry. I want to say, oh. He takes no pleasure in the strength of a horse or in human might. No. I want to say, no. The Lord's delight is in those who fear him. Those who put their hope in his unfailing love. God will sing over you and dance over you because, wow. The main point is God's like, oh my gosh. My son trusts me. My daughter trusts me. My son isn't out looking for girls because he knows I'm bringing the right one. My daughter is not texting and trying to get guys' numbers because she knows that there's a prince that I have for him. Come on. My son isn't taking selfies all day trying to get likes because he knows I think he's beautiful and that's enough for him. Can I get an amen? Please? All right, we'll move on. Point two, I'm going to say point two. We're doing great. Oh, hey, it's up there. Everyone say, my Father's plan. Jesus. Everyone say, purpose. To get me back. That was God's plan. God's plan was Jesus and the purpose of, listen, I can show it to you as well, and we don't have time to look at it today, but the purpose of Jesus, God's ultimate plan was to restore relationship with his sons and daughters. Listen to me, okay? The purpose wasn't so that they can obey me. The purpose wasn't so like they can like change the world. The purpose wasn't so like they can pray to me and do all these things. It wasn't that. The purpose of Jesus coming and dying on the cross is to restore relationship with God the Father. All the other stuff I talked about, obedience, the change in the world, all those things are a result of that relationship with the Father. Does that make sense? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do my commandments. If you love me, first, and then the commandments. See, for example, when you like the girl or you like the guy at some point in your life, not recently, was it difficult for you to stay up until 3 in the morning on the phone with them? No, right? It was like, no, because it wasn't hard. Right? I'm willing to sacrifice sleep, which I love, just so I can keep talking to you. Right? Same thing with God. God, I'm not going to watch that movie because I know it's dirty. Because I love you more. God, you know what? I hung out with my friends yesterday, so today, even though they want to hang out again, I'm not going to hang out with them. I'm going to go home and just be in your presence, go in a secret place. Does that make sense? Whether it's sin or not, the Apostle Paul said all things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. I'm not saying that you're choosing sin over God. I'm just saying you're choosing something else other than God. Okay. Your Father's plan, Jesus, purpose, get him back. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Also look up at the screen because this is also in the NLT. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. I always think of Armstrong when I read that. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Can somebody say amen? That was the plan. We see it clearly laid out. Before we were ever even born, before we were even a thought in your parents' head, God said, I want them to be with me. He was already thinking God's main goal was relationship. I want that relationship with every single one of them. And listen, God paid a huge price for every single one of us. Amen? Point number three. Let him be your father. Everything we talked about is everything that God the Father has done for us. He sent his son. He has showered us with his love. God the Father has done everything that he can, that he could, to restore that relationship with every single one of us. But it's not automatic. Just because everything that God did doesn't mean that now you're a son of God, now that you're a daughter. Now it's our turn. Jesus made the way for the opportunity for us to now step into it. Amen? Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. This is what salvation is. This is what being born again is. You're born again as now a son and a daughter of God the Father through Jesus Christ. I'm telling you guys, to become a Christian is to start a relationship with God the Father. It's not a religion. It's not sets of do's and don'ts. In the same way, like when one day you get married, there's like, how many of you guys agree, right? We just saw the video that cheating is a don't, right? And does any spouse be like, oh, like I can't cheat because like I'm not allowed to? No, like that's a terrible heart, right? Your reaction would be like, you shouldn't want to, right? It's the same thing when you enter in a relationship with God. Why would you want to get involved with like worldly filth? When your God is a holy God, why would you want to get involved with relationships that are going to mess up your heart? Does that make sense? Why would you want to like put yourself all over social media trying to gain all that attention when it's just going to make you feel empty inside and you're never going to be satisfied? You're never going to be happy with the way people see you. You're never going to be happy with the way people see you. There's always Isaac was talking like a couple of months ago about drinking that haterade. There will always be haters. I'm sorry, guys, but not everyone's going to love you. Especially as a Christian. Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you too. They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you too. Why are we living our lives as if we're trying to please everyone when the one person you should be pleasing is God? And when you focus on that relationship, then you're empowered. Then you have the grace. Then you have the the spiritual matureness to now love people that might not be lovable or love people who don't love you. Amen? Amen. So God has given us a spirit in which we cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba means daddy. See, God's trying to communicate something to someone, all of us. You know, it's not just God, but he wants to be your father. Not just father, but daddy. The one who you're comfortable with, the one who you can share all your secrets with, the one who you know he'll never do you wrong. You know that he'll never hurt you. He'll never disappoint you. He'll never let you down. He's never going to bring you down. He's never going to accuse you. He's never going to make you feel bad. Your Father in heaven will always be the one to build you up, to put your broken heart back together. He's always going to be the one to clean you up and say, it's okay, let's try this again. Let's do this together. This is your Father. Amen? Check this out. Go to John 17. We'll read verses 20 through 26. Do you guys know that Jesus prays for you? I don't know if you guys know that. Currently, Jesus, biblically speaking, it's all biblical, but Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for all of us. He's praying for us. But when Jesus was here with the apostles, he also prayed for us. And we're going to read that prayer and think, and literally, if you read it, it says Jesus prays for all believers, and we'll see it in his prayer. But listen to this, because he's talking to every single one of us, okay? This is what it says. I do not pray for these alone. He's talking about the apostles and disciples. He said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will. Sorry, my mic is going all over the place now. Turn it down a little bit. I'll be better. Hello. That's good. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. I'm going to say be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one. I'm going to say be one. In us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, which I have given them, that they may, I'm going to say be one. Just as we are one. I in them and you in me. That they may be made perfect in, everyone say, one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. Listen to this. Jesus is praying this for you guys. He's saying, God, I'm coming back to you, but I want all of them to come with me. Listen, church, Jesus doesn't desire, it's nowhere in his heart. Jesus' desire is for no one to go to hell. Jesus wants no one to perish. His desire is for no one to be like that, to be there. Does that make sense? No one. And we see it. Jesus says, I desire for all of them to come with me. But look at it. We it's like one, two, three, I think like four, like three or four times Jesus says, I want us to be one. I want us to be one. This is the kind of relationship where it's not like I come to church and then on Monday and Tuesday I'm at school and I'm not in that relationship anymore. Does that make sense? Jesus is saying, you guys need to have a relationship with God the Father through me that is all the time, every day. Does that make sense? And listen, that is the purpose, because when you do that, when you become one with God, you start to take on his nature, take on his ways, take on the way he thinks. And soon enough, like in the same way that many of us thought carnally, many of us had like sin consciousness, many of us like automatically like, come on, am I the only one who like always thought bad things in high school, right? Or had bad thoughts? I'm not saying always, like I wasn't that bad, but I was bad. I'm digging a hole. Anyways. Does that make sense? Am I the only one who's had some bad thoughts? No. Right? And given into those bad thoughts? But as you become one with Jesus, thus becoming one with the Father, you take on his nature, you take on his ways, and now it is natural for you to be good. It is natural for you to obey. it becomes very, very unnatural to sin. It becomes very unnatural for certain thoughts to stay in your head. When a thought, when you take on the mind of Christ, when you take on God's nature, when a bad thought enters your head, your first reaction is like, ooh, stop. I'm going to cast it down, and I want to meditate on that, which is good. And if you're not in that place yet, listen, get to know God the Father. Get in your secret place, pray, come to church, read your Bible, get some good godly friends, and you're going to become, you're going to start taking on this nature of who God created you to be. And it won't and it won't be hard for you to not sin. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, like you're going to be so happy at how much God has given you and how much you're going to grow in him. Does that make sense? It will bring you back to your true nature. See, God didn't create everyone to be dumb, okay? He didn't create us to do bad things. He created us to be perfect and holy, just like he is, so that he can have relationship. And so this journey that we go on as we get to know God our Father is for the purpose of restoring that relationship with God the Father, but restoring us to who we were really created to be. Does that make sense? I gotta breathe. All right, one last scripture, okay? Tyler, you can come up. No, I'm gonna say yay. Because if you want more, then go home and read your Bible, okay? I'm like, don't tell me all. I'm be like, oh, guys, you gotta go home and get some more, okay? Seriously, just here. You guys want some more? Write this down. Write down John 17. Write down John 14. Write down Matthew 6. Sorry, I should slow down. I was getting kind of carried away. I got excited. John 14. John 14. John 17. Matthew 6, Matthew 11. Whether you're close to him or not, and I pray that you guys will be, but raise your hand. Does anybody just feel like God the Father just calling you closer, to just in close relationship with him? Amen. Amen. I'll end with this one. Side note, though, if you guys read John, especially in the scripture we just read in John 17, you see Jesus, like, in everything that we read, I didn't see the word God at all. Not once. It's in the book, but in the section that we read, he didn't say God at all. He said Father. He addressed God as Father. Because his image of God wasn't just God, it was Father. Does that make sense? He didn't see God as like this, like, as, does that make sense? Like, he didn't, like, we talked about it. When he thought about God, he thought Father. That was his first reaction. Father. And that needs to be with us. Where it's like, oh, like, we say things like, oh, yeah, like, God willing. Or we say things like, you know, oh, like, you know, you should pray to God about that. Pray to your Father. Seek your Father. Does that make sense? Spend time with your Father. And I'm not saying, like, okay, like, I'm not, it's not a religious thing. Like, oh, yeah, like, take God out of your vocabulary and start putting Father. You know, don't say, oh, you should spend time with God. Like, oh, don't say that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that identify God as your Father. So that's scripture. This has probably been, like, my favorite scripture this year, for sure. John 14, we already talked about it. John 14, verse 2 through 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He's saying, I'm not lying to you. I go to prepare a place for you. Has anybody ever been to a sleepover? And your friend's bed is there, and then, like, next to it on the bottom, like, it's like the blankets and, like, the pillow and, like, the sleeping bag, right? Because you're having a sleepover, right? They prepare a place for you, right? Jesus. It's a big house, and he's making all these beds. Because he wants to have a slumber party with you. He wants to talk to you all night. He wants to hang out with you. Wrestling. Did you say wrestling?
Watch wrestling.
I think they said wrestling. Hey, the last time someone wrestled with God, they broke their knee, I think. Or something like that. Anyways. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to my. Jesus saying, I'm coming back for you. I'm coming back for you. Come on, somebody. I'm coming back for you. That's what Jesus is telling us. I'm coming back for you. That where I am, there you may be also. Jesus doesn't want to be in heaven by himself. His desire is for all of us to be there. And he's prepared a place for every single one of us, because he doesn't want to be up there by himself. He wants every single one of us. He wants souls of youth. Jesus doesn't want to go anywhere without us. And listen to me. He's excited. He's excited for every single one of us to join him in heaven one day. He's already made your bed. He's already given you your mansion. He's already excited because in heaven there's no tears, there's no sour. I hope there's sour. I like sour. There's no sorrow. There's no tears. There's no pain. There's no depression. Jesus is like, I have everything perfect. Come on, guys. Come on. God the Father is calling every single one of us. Amen.